Are you ready to win? You're tuned in with Star, Pastor Dab, and Gabe for an hour packed with encouragement, strategies, and resources for families with children with special needs. You're not alone on this journey. Stay tuned because you're ready to win.
Well, I don't think sexually. All right, everybody. Well, welcome back to another week's show of Ready to Win. This is Star.
And Pastor Dab.
And we have a very, very, very special guest on the line, Miss Haley Moss. Could you say hello?
Hi.
Hey. So great to have you back on the show. And we have our favorite engineer, Mr. Allen, who keeps us sounding good on the radio every single week. Woo, woo, woo. So we are so glad to be here, you guys. We're excited for another week and just excited for the 4th of July coming up. And I know we just want to wish you guys happy and safe festivities over the next few days. But like we do every single week before we get our show started, we started off with some inspiration from our favorite pastor, Pastor Dab. So go ahead and take it away.
All right. Well, praise the Lord, everybody. It's just so good to be in the land of the living. And we just thank God for another opportunity to be able to come and be able to spend this time with you today. To all of you out there in Radio Land, we just come and we greet you in the name of the Lord. I am Pastor Dab. And today our scripture comes from Galatians 5:13-14. It says, "For you, brethren, have been called to liberty. Only do not use liberty as an opportunity for the flesh, but through love serve one another. For all the law is fulfilled in one word, even in this, you shall love your neighbor as yourself." And thank God, because he's given us a choice. He's given us that liberty and that freedom. And it's a privilege to be able to have this liberty and freedom to take a stand and to stand for the Lord Jesus Christ. And Maya Angelou's quote says, "What you're supposed to do when you don't like a thing is change it. If you can't change it, change the way you think about it. Don't complain." So we have that liberty and that freedom of speech and the power of choice to get out there and make a difference, because God has given us the liberty. And most of all, he wants us to love our neighbor as we love ourselves. Amen. Have a blessed and wonderful day. Walk in liberty
awesome.
Today.
That's awesome. And it's so true, liberty. And so many people have paved the way for us to be able to have liberty. And I know, especially in our special needs community, there's so many trailblazers that have just done so many wonderful things. And like I remember a couple weeks ago, we talked about when we were at the Family Cafe and we got to meet Judy Heumann, who actually went and marched on Washington, and they told their stories. And it was so awesome and so liberating to see these bills and everything get passed to help people that are living with disabilities. And we call them unique abilities, disabilities, whatever. They are still making it happen. And things have had to change. There's had to be people that have had to go in the forefront to make it as great as it is for us today. And still, we have to continue the race and continue to run with that. My mom talked about a torch yesterday, like how it's a baton, and we're passing that baton from one to another. And so that's what we're here to do. And there's a young lady on the line, you guys, that is just doing some amazing things. And she's been on our call. She's been tuning in with us over the past month. She's talked about all of her successes and all of the things that she's been able to accomplish over her life. And I'm just so excited to have you, Miss Haley Moss. I want you to know I went and spent $75 on smart suites. That's our little fun candy joke, but I'm so excited to have you on the call and to be able to share your story and how you're really walking in that liberty and you're helping other people to do so. And I know we've talked about all the great things that you've been able to accomplish, but I want you to talk today, because I had asked you a question the other day, and you said that's one of the downsides. And we were going to talk a little bit about some of the things that have been a little bit more challenging for you as an adult living with autism. So I would love for you to share some of those things today.
Thank you so much for the warm welcome, as always, Star. You are the best. And I'm sorry that I also got you back hooked on Smart Sweets. And I'm glad that you and I can bond over how much we end up spending when we go to Whole Foods just to buy candy. So thank you for sharing that with our listeners at home. That's probably one of the things that is hard, actually, is I am one of those people that struggles with what to eat and foods and all that. And I think that's a little bit of – that's definitely an autism thing with being a picky eater and all that stuff. So it's something that I don't talk about, and people don't really realize it about me until they get to know me. I've written about it. I'll joke about it. But people don't realize how serious it is until, you know, we have to go out to dinner or something like that. And then I'll struggle to pick something to do, or also just even getting overloaded. And I was on a podcast yesterday, and I was talking about, hey, even exercising and being in a studio, I got overwhelmed by the lights and the noise and the dark and the crowds and the whole nine yards. And I think it's we don't talk about this because we're so focused on the what we can do. And it's not the what we can't do that needs the focus, but I think it just seems to be when you have someone who fits this definition of success, we tend to just overlook the things that are hard and how they got there and all the obstacles in the past, because we will be like, oh, this person is traditionally very successful.
That's so true. My aunt, one of the things my aunt says to me all the time, she calls me by my first name, Tamara Star, you just make it look easy, you know? And so I think because sometimes we don't talk about those things as much, mm-hmm. you know, people just, I think people can become judgmental with mm-hmm. even within their, you know, towards us when they look, they see that you're doing some things easier that appears to be easy to them, that they don't know really what challenges or how much effort had to go in behind the scenes for you to do that.
Oh, definitely. And even what you said, when people say you make it look easy, people always say to me that I seem to always have it together. And the truth is, I don't. And if you go into my house, it looks like a tornado walk through it most of the time. I'm not very organized. I'm still trying to figure out what I'm doing. I can't balance a lot of things, but I do the best that I can. And I think because people like you and I, like, we have it, it looks like we have it together, but you don't always have it together. And I'll tell people, no, I don't. But no matter what, they're going to choose to believe I have it together, because that's what they want to hear and want to believe, even if I say I don't always have the answers. I don't always have it together.
Do you think people, they want to make you look like you have it all together, so it gives them an excuse of why they can't have it all together? You know, it's almost
but nobody has it all together all the time. So I don't feel bad.
Nobody ever has it all together. I remember I was picking Gabe up from school, and I was the parents that have children with special needs, they tell us to get in the line early. This is when he first started school. And I remember this lady, she's seen everything on the outer. So she's seen, oh, this lady's coming up in a pink Cadillac, because that's when I was doing Mary Kay full-time at that time. And, you know, she always see me happy, and she see me dressed nicely. And she says, oh, my gosh, you just have the perfect life. That's what she told me. Meanwhile, I'm like, oh, okay, I'm here, you know, in the line, picking up my son, that the doctors keep telling me he's behind, he's never going to do this. But all she's seen was, oh, you look like you have the perfect life. And she was compared. I don't know how she could have compared that, but that's, people will take and compare things to their, you know. And then I thought about it, and I said, you know what, to me, this is, it wasn't the perfect life. But then I said, you know what, I do have the perfect life. I have the perfect life. I have the life that God planned for me. So she just she spoke it over my life. And I said, you know what? Instead of me trying to say, no, I don't have the perfect life, I just received it. And I'm like, I have the perfect life. And I think that, but I really think it does come from deep-rooted just comparison.
It definitely comes from within to make other people feel better about themselves. It definitely comes from within. I think you have the perfect life for you. Although I don't blame this person you're talking about, because honestly, if I saw your peach Cadillac, I'd probably think that's pretty awesome too.
Yeah, it does. But it just shows you how
it's
people see something that you've accomplished, and then they will think, they'll interpret that to a perfect life. Like, I'm sure you get that all the time. People see that you've accomplished being able to write a book, to be able to do your art, to be able to be their first openly autistic attorney in the state of Florida. And they probably say, oh, my gosh, Haley, you have the perfect life.
I have a great life. I don't think my life is perfect necessarily, because I don't think there is such thing as perfection. And I think striving for perfection is what makes us miserable. And mm-hmm. a good friend of mine actually taught me that. So I think about this, and I think my life is good. I'm in a good place. I'm happy. It just matters that I'm happy, not if it looks perfect. Because honestly, life is not perfect. It's messy. I mean, I think I mentioned last time we talked that we're filming a documentary, and there was one of these days that we were filming, and she came to work with me, and we were just having this hard conversation about perceived deficits, and I just started crying, and I was crying for just hours, and I'm like, I don't know if any of it's going to make it in there, but still, the point that you still had this, I was overwhelmed and just having this feeling and having a hard conversation. It was just a very total, it was like a total meltdown of just everything. And you're sitting there thinking like, but I'm like, I know I have a great life, but you're not seeing the moments where something like that happens where you melt down or you're crying or you're also like, I don't know about you, but I still have mornings that I still don't want to get out of bed in the morning for whatever the reason, whether it's because I want to sleep or I just don't feel like I can face the day. It still happens.
Wow. And I think when we share this part of our journey, that it lets everybody know we're human.
We are human. And it's something that I think even going through the filming process, it's like you have to be able to be as real and raw and authentic as possible. And that doesn't mean just not wearing makeup. It means like, you know, not being afraid to cry or not being afraid to be moody or being exactly who you are, because it's hard to be sunshine and roses and masking all the time. That's not realistic. And I think that's what happens, especially when you are more a public figure or something, like with how people associate me. They see 4% of my life. That's how I see it. They see 4% of my life in advocacy, going to graduations or speaking or whatever fun, interesting thing I'm doing where I'm dressed up and getting to talk about things I love to talk about. But the other 96% of my life is, you know, at home, having a real adult lawyer job that at times can be very stressful, wanting to work out, watching Netflix, sitting in my apartment. That's what I'm doing right now. It's pouring out down here, and I'm still sitting in bed, and it's past noon on a Saturday. And is that a perfect life? Because someone else out there is going to expect that I optimize every second of my day. And of course I'm on the phone with you, but I'm also sending off an email to somebody high powered, or I'm doing this or I'm doing that. No, I'm still in bed at 12 something on a Saturday.
Wow.
I think that's the honesty we don't really have.
Yeah. And I think we need to have more honesty.
Is that we're still real people?
You know, what'd you say?
That we're still real people. And it's something that I learned,
real people,
with getting to travel and getting to speak. I mean, I've been around a lot of speakers, and usually when they go to these events and stuff, they're usually the first ones, the last ones there and the first ones out, because they're the most important people in the room, or at least they seem to believe they're the most important people in the room. And every time I go, I always tend to overstay. I've always realized, because I get so excited about being around people and being around the people that I meet, is I will be there until the minute that they kick me out, because I'm so excited to just connect with everybody. And I do take it so seriously, and it's such a human thing. And like, this doesn't feel like work. I just get to enjoy being around people. So, and then people are like, oh my God, you are like so easy to work with. Her. I'm like, no, I do this because I like to. The minute I don't want to do this, you're not going to see me. The end.
Right. That's so
true.
You have
to do what you love.
You know, I feel the same way as you, honey. I think that's why we were like the last ones when we were at the autism walk here, making friends with autism with Corinne. We were like the last ones leaving, but it's truly like making those genuine connections with people. And
that's,
you know,
how I feel too, is stay for the genuine connections. And you know, I was the last one to leave that event in Jacksonville. I was the last one to leave with Corinne. And normally I know like invited speakers are like, yeah, I'm done. This is great. Say hi to a couple people, do the thing, bail. And I'm like, no, I love you guys. And also because I had to go home after that, and Corinne and Victoria ended up taking great care of me. And then after we met you, we ended up going out for pizza, which was pretty great.
That is so awesome. Oh, my gosh.
I miss you all. I need to come back up there soon.
You got to come back. We're going to have an event for another event and bring Haley in. So
tell me when.
I will. I'll let you know. Maybe we'll plan something with our giveaway foundation and do some type of something special for families, because I know that just from you being on these calls for the past this is your third time on, I know we've had so many families that have listened and reached out, and they really have been inspired by your story, and I know that it's making a difference, and that's exactly why I continue to ask you, Kaylee, are you available to come back? Because I know that when people hear the genuineness, they hear just the love that you have and just everything that you've accomplished, it gives them hope. And that's what mm-hmm. we want to do for other families, is to give families hope and to give them another picture of what life could be. You know what I mean? I think a lot of times people mm-hmm. show only one
hope
end
is
of
really
the
hope
spectrum.
Is quite the
yeah.
thing.
And
I'm glad that I could be the person who gives hope, but I also don't want to give false hope. I think that's something that I get that I'm always very careful about, is I don't want people to think this is the only way or that this is what success is on the spectrum. And I had this conversation with my mother actually not long ago, maybe a week ago at dinner, because we had a waiter at a restaurant whose son was also on the spectrum, and he's in college now. And my mom makes this comment about how successful our kids are. So referring to me and the waiter's son, like, okay, like lawyer, college kid, you know, like obviously, you know, pretty well off type thing. And I said, Mom, I don't think that's what success is. Success doesn't look like that for everybody. And I realized the more time that I spend in autism world is the more inclusive I aim to be. And I think that, and I told Mom, I'm like, Mom, it would be equally as much of a success story if I ordered salmon off the menu. Because we all know that I have issues with eating and stuff like that. It would be equally as much of a success story if I ordered salmon that day, or if somebody who is normally nonverbal or struggles to communicate says I love you to their parents for the first time.
Right. Yeah,
and
I feel like
that
too with my son,
with
Gabe.
You
know, I told my friends that
he's high functioning
in the things that he does. Oh, I'm sorry, I couldn't hardly hear you. What'd you say?
That you don't have to be a lawyer, doctor, or something to be given that hope, or that's what the dream is.
That's true.
I love you, or even in my case, knowing how to park my car or order a salmon off a menu is equally as monumental.
Right. And that's another form, I think, of people being judgmental of what success is. I told, we were talking with the therapist this week, and I was talking to another family, and I was like, you know what? We've had a successful year. This year, my son learned how to put his shoes on. I mean, that's a great accomplishment for him. And it's a great mm-hmm. victory, and it's a great win for the whole family. You know what I'm saying? So success is
Absolutely.
So different for everybody. And I think that's the part of not judging people and letting mm-hmm. people win where they can win, you know, and that's why, but I do love that you are showing people that they can win over in this arena though. And I also love that I will show people how they can win if they're in my arena. You see what I'm saying? Because everybody, mm-hmm. you're in your own arena. So whatever.
And we're all on
success,
the same team. We're all cheering for each other.
Yes. We're all here for each other, and we all are winning in our own ways. And I think it's the mm-hmm. thing is, don't look down on your victory because of somebody else's victory. You have to still
yeah.
count your blessings. You have to still be happy and just excited. I have to be just mm-hmm. as excited for my child that can put his shoes on independently as your parents were when you graduated and got your degree, or, you know, when you became an attorney, you know, so you still have mm-hmm. to celebrate every single victory.
Absolutely.
As if.
I mean, two of my biggest mm-hmm. victories in my younger days were learning how to tie my shoes. I didn't know how to tie my shoes until I was like 12. So it was a very big victory. And also when I finally decided to try pizza and realized that pizza is a food group, that was a pretty big deal. In our house. I think about this
wow.
stuff, and I'm like, yeah. And I'm rooting for your son with the shoes. That's a big one. And also, I think that's what we need to start doing, especially as we keep having our conversations. And I invite listeners to think about this as well. It's to celebrate the milestones, no matter how big or small, because they are things that matter, that they are winning, as you said, in our own arenas, that putting on shoes is just as monumental in your son's journey as the day I got sworn in my journey. So I think we
yeah.
have to understand that every journey is very different. We all have a different yellow brick road, and we all have different things that are worth celebrating as we go through life.
And that's so awesome. That's so awesome and so true. I mean, you couldn't have said it any better. Is there anything that you want to talk about? Like, I know you said, I asked if you drove. So do you do the Uber? Is that how you do for transportation?
So you're talking about transportation. So your girl doesn't drive. I have a driver's license, but I live in Miami, and Miami is like the most terrifying place in the world to drive. And I also somehow can't figure out the spatial
I agree.
And I also can't figure out the spatial relationships with parking. I have no idea why. It just doesn't click for me. And that's on my list of things that I would like to overcome and work on. It just hasn't been a priority right now. But right now, I am a very good person at bumming off of friends, family, and colleagues. And also, I'm a frequent flyer type thing on Uber and Lyft. Because I am very...
Go ahead, honey. Go ahead. So you found a way to overcome that.
Being too dependent. And also, at least here, I wish that our public transportation was a little bit better, or at least more accessible and goes to places that matter. Like, I genuinely don't understand why the train here does not go to Miami Beach. So if any Miami people are listening, if you understand that Metrorail does not go to the beach, it goes like through the whole south to downtown, then God knows where. So please.
Yeah, we've been down in Miami and we've taken the transportation. And yeah, so I definitely understand. And it is one of the scariest places to drive. So these are just real issues that you have a driver's license. I know I met another young man, and when we were at the conference, I met so many people, and it's just amazing to see. I know that it's like awesome that you understand the limits and the things that you are not comfortable with doing, and so I think that's
absolutely
amazing as well. You know,
and I think it's worth reiterating again that every single person with what they struggle with and what they're good at is different. I think about a friend of mine, and I think, okay, here's someone who has better independent living skills than I do. So here's someone who can have. Who does live independently, can't keep their place clean, has a dog, has a car, knows how to drive, all this other stuff. And yet there are things that my friend can do that I can't, and the things that I can do that he can't. So it's very interesting to think like that, is that every single person is different and the strengths and weaknesses are different. And while I think with being on the spectrum, there's some overarching theme in what's difficult, not every single challenge is exactly the same.
Wow. So you guys are hearing it here. She's sharing from her heart things that are more challenging for her as an awesome adult with autism, that it happens to be an attorney. These are some things that are real issues for her. And but she's you're overcoming them every single day. I mean, it's amazing. And it's like there's so many different systems in place to where I know with Uber and Lyft and all these different things, it makes it easier for everybody, even, you know, for people that just need to get around from place to place without any particular special needs.
Mm-hmm. I'm just adapting.
Now,
is there
any other things that you want to share?
Like,
as far, how about with relationships and, like, dating?
Huh?
How about with relationships and dating? How is that? Is that, do you have challenges with, like, trusting people or opening up to people? How has that been for you?
I usually don't talk about relationships and dating, but since I trust you and I love you, it is not an easy thing. I think it is hard to find someone who also understands you. And I think at least on the spectrum, you're kind of looking for someone who speaks your language, who gets it. So what I've noticed with dating people who are not on the spectrum is you tell them you're on the spectrum, you're autistic, and they're like, yeah, that's great, cool. And then when push comes to shove and they see what's actually hard for you or that you're struggling in a certain situation, they don't understand and they don't know how to deal with it.
Right.
Or they start blaming you for something that you can't necessarily control. And that's not easy either. And I realize, at least in communication, I've realized this in relationships generally, I find myself overcompensating. That I find myself explaining everything very thoroughly, no matter who the person is, and talking through literally everything because I'm so scared something's going to get lost in translation. And unfortunately, I realize as well, is as we know, autism is a social and communication disorder marked by those kinds of deficits, even though it is neurological, developmental, et cetera. But it's really marked by those communication deficits. And I find myself having to be a better communicator than the people that I'm around. which is kind of ridiculous, is I am the person with the communication problem, yet I have to put in all the communication effort.
You have to put in all the work and all the effort. But you know what? I think communication, I mean, that's a big deal for anybody. You know, it's a big deal for anybody, especially with relationships, especially with dating. It's just like making sure, do you really understand me? You understand what I'm saying? You know that old song, if you don't know me by now, you will never, never, never know me. You know that? I don't know if you know that old song. It's an old school song, but
it sounds familiar.
It's so, yeah, it's just so true, you know. But even, you know, everybody has to put that work in relationships. And I guess it's just no different than, you know, it's just making sure that you communicate thoroughly. And that, I think that when you said that, I said that's your inner attorney coming out, communicating everything thoroughly.
It's weird because it's not natural to communicate that thoroughly for anybody. But I realize that as someone who, one, is usually very blunt, and two, also realizes that I do have these issues and challenges that I have to overcompensate in a way. And I don't want to get blamed. And I'm, even if it's my partner or someone else who's having that deficit, I know it'll ultimately, people have a tendency to default that it's not them. It's never them when something goes wrong. It's always the other person.
Right. Always. It's always somebody else's fault. Never ours. Yeah. So.
But I do think as I've gotten older, I am learning more about what I value in relationships, what I'm looking for, what I would like. And I think that the more I think about it, the more it's really finding, and I think this goes for anyone on the spectrum, is finding someone who speaks your language, whatever
awesome.
That may be, whether it's in terms of communication style, how you show affection, or just getting who you are as a person and loving you for exactly who you are.
I love that. Oh my gosh, that's so powerful. Finding someone who speaks your language. That is so powerful, you guys. Oh my gosh, this show is wrapping up. It ended so fast. But you guys stay tuned. I'm going to see if we can get Haley back in the studio. You've been listening to Ready to Win. This is Star. We had Pastor Dab, Miss Haley Moss, and you guys stay tuned for more information. You can visit our website at www.giveawayfoundation.org, and we are ready to win.
You've been listening to Ready to Win, turning disabilities into unique abilities, an empowered hour to help you and your child with special needs. You're encouraged to get involved in our local special needs community. Learn more at giveawayfoundation.org. That's giveawayfoundation.org. And remember, you're always equipped to win.